you really need to find a champion. Find someone that you admire, whether they're good at business development or they have some technical competency and you're really interested in what they're doing. Try to latch on to that person, learn from them, because you'll find that most people like to teach and share their knowledge.
You're listening to the Building Better Futures podcast, where innovation meets inspiration. In each episode, host Eric Hirani journeys alongside notable thought leaders who are shaping the future, cultivating exceptional work cultures, and nurturing the next generation of trailblazers. We aim to spark inspiration by engaging in dialogue with leaders from groundbreaking companies, innovative projects, and exceptional teams. Our goal is to empower individuals to positively impact those around them and leave a lasting legacy of positive change in our communities and society at large. Let's dive in together and explore what it takes to build better futures, one conversation at a time.
Welcome, everyone, to today's show. I'm very excited to be joined by Joe Tulumello, the Executive Vice President of Building in Places at Gannett Fleming today. And Joe, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We always like to start the show off with a little bit of good news and gratitude. Is there anything personal, professional you'd like to share that might qualify as some good news in your life or some gratitudes you have for maybe people you work with?
I can. I'm not sure if you saw, but we recently merged with Transystems. They're our national transportation engineering firm. And I'm really excited about it because it's going to create a lot of opportunities for Gannett Fleming in our business. And it's something to look forward to.
I did see, and it looks like huge news and definitely reverberating around the industry. Very cool. And I'm excited to get to know more about Transystems. I had not worked with them previously and I did not know much about them, but I did take some time yesterday when I saw the article to read about them. And seems like an exciting firm and an awesome opportunity for both of you. So congrats to everybody involved on that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. And we're looking forward to where it can take us.
Very exciting. My gratitudes on show day are very easy. They're always to the guests. So my gratitude is to you today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know it's very hard to find time to do things that are not directly related to our jobs. I think the audience is going to learn a lot. I'm very excited to hear about your journey and yourself, advice you have for younger engineers, architects, and professionals, and even some older ones, you know, some people that have progressed in their career a little bit further, but still are looking for guidance on what, you know, where they're going to be next. So we do have limited time, so we'll jump right into it. And so just to start, tell us a bit about yourself, you know, your background, career path, and your role at Gannett Fleming specifically.
Let me start with, I'm a local New Yorker, born and raised Brooklyn. I've been here all my life, right? It's always something nice to share with a local New Yorker. Son of Italian immigrants, something that I'm proud of. The start to my career is a little unorthodox. I actually started out in business. Went to Pace University, Lubin School of Business, graduated. And towards the end of that education, or my degree, I should say, decided it wasn't for me. I always had a creative side and explored it further. And then I went to school for architecture and acquired a Bachelor of Architecture from the New York Institute of Technology. So a little unusual in this business. And started my career in the AEC space, working for a small commercial firm in Brooklyn that did mostly residential and commercial type of work. And from there, took a job with one of my professors, John DiDomenico, runs a reputable New York City architecture firm focused on transit transportation. And towards the end of my career there, I befriended an engineer at Gannett Fleming, working on a large MTA design build project called Grand Avenue Bus, really exciting project. And that came to a wrap, and John hired me. The individual's name is John Ferdy, a really, really great guy, longtime Gannett employee. John hired me at the end of that project to start an architectural group in New York City, which was a group of three, okay? And that was in 2009. Since then, I've taken on many responsibilities, I've grown the business, and now I run what we call Buildings and Places Corporate Business Group, which is essentially the buildings division for Gannett Fleming nationwide.
That's really awesome. And I tend to do some research on the guests, even when I know them. You know, obviously, I know you prior to being on the show here. But I was looking at your LinkedIn earlier, and I love to see that progression in a career. I just think it's so interesting and is proof for anybody else out there, right? Like, it's possible as long as you kind of apply yourself, you're willing to work hard, willing to learn a lot, probably have a good mentor or two, right? It sounds like you had some really influential people in your life that took you up, you know, took you on that journey.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've been very fortunate.
And so it actually, it's perfect because it rolls into a question I wanted to ask you, which was, what are some of the initiatives, you know, you've implemented to provide like those kind of opportunities, maybe for the younger people at Gannett Fleming or those that are just entering their career?
I'll start with what we do at Gannett globally. We have a program called Connected Relationships. We pair up people that I would say are at the start of their career with folks that are seasoned. They've been in the business a long time. You know, to accelerate the mentoring process, to build internal relationships. And we've been doing it for years. I participate in it, and it works out really well in terms of, you know, the sharing of lessons learned, having someone to talk to get career advice. So that's a great program that we do here again, and it's been a great success. Personally, what my leadership team does is we make a point to give staff access to opportunities to take on more responsibilities. It's easy to pigeonhole someone into a position and tell them that's what you're going to do. And we try really hard not to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. Often it happens. Folks fail, but we encourage that. We want them to fail fast and to learn from their failures, right? Because if you don't give them a little leeway, they're not going to learn and develop. So that's something that I do personally, and I'm proud of it.
Recently, I read an article about failure and how failure tends to be the catalyst to success, you know, and how as a society, we don't talk about our failures enough, you know, and you just mentioned, I thought that was really interesting. Is there anything you'd like to share? Any failures maybe in your life that have kind of been the catalyst for some of your success or failures you've seen? Yeah.
I have a couple, and that's a big question, Eric. So earlier on in my career, and this one in particular stuck with me, it was painful, but I learned from it. It was a project early in my career. It was a design build project. And something didn't get built in the field per spec what we designed. And it was pretty significant in terms of cost impact and impact of the schedule. And I kept it to myself. I tried to resolve it without telling my supervisor and the principal of the firm. That didn't work out so well for me. It was an embarrassing moment. It was a painful moment because I could have handled it differently. But what I learned from that failure is, one, if something is going wrong, raise a red flag. Don't hold back. And two, it's okay to ask for help. It's part of our development. And I kept that lesson with me ever since, and it's served me well. And I encourage everyone in this business to take that advice because it's only going to help them grow and develop.
I think acknowledging failure is amazing. And so that obviously had an impacting, it was an impactful moment in your life. Because you remember it to this day, and it sounds like it was from earlier in your career, and I'm sure you learned a lot from that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Acknowledging a failure, I think, is very important, but then also adapting and changing and learning from it. And it sounds like you did all of those things. Communication is key, right? I think we would all probably say that across the board. And it seems like in that instance, maybe if there was some more communication, maybe there would have been a resolution sooner or something could have changed along the way.
Absolutely. It's good to speak up when something isn't going well. It's expected.
And so in terms of that, let's talk a little bit more about Gannett Fleming then. How do you guys do that in your culture? How do you make it okay for people to speak up when either there is a problem or a failure? Like culturally, what is that like for you and the team over there?
I would say we provide the space for that, the safe space. We don't reprimand employees or ridicule them for not doing something right? We all make mistakes. Projects don't always work out as it's supposed to, as you know, right? This is a really challenging business we're in.
For sure.
It's a creative business. It's an iterative business. We're always trying to figure things out on the fly in a fast-paced schedule. I would say the most important thing is we provide the space and the open channels of communication to allow that type of situation to happen in terms of, you know, someone failing or not doing something right the first time around. I think it comes down to that.
You know, I read a book by Ray Dalio, like the famous hedge fund manager, and it's called Principles. And one of the things he writes about in there is how when he was first building the firm, it was always okay to make a mistake as long as you wrote it. And he says they had like a big black book or something in the middle of the, you know, I guess, open floor. And as long as you like wrote down the mistake you made, and then every Friday they would all talk about the mistakes they made so that no one else ever made it again. You know, like that was kind of the idea and rule. I really like something about that. You know, we try the same thing. You know, we try not to reprimand for honest mistakes, right? Obviously, there's a difference, but also to teach from those moments. And it's become a very, very important thing for us to understand how people are working, and then how can we help them do better if there are points of improvement that maybe they don't see or they are seeing and they're bringing to us? Are we doing anything to coach them or make them better?
It's a good idea. Maybe we'll adopt it.
Yeah. We haven't adopted it yet. I thought it was a great, great point in the book. So yeah. I wanted to mention it here. So we talked a lot about culture and the people aspect. Let's talk about the actual buildings aspect. Tell us about some cool projects you've worked on or anything you think really impacted the community towards that Building Better Futures. Big part of this show is letting people understand how the projects we work on really impact life day to day, right? And I know the portfolio Gannett Fleming is wide. You have your transportation, you have your education, you have your healthcare, you know, like, yeah, I know you guys do a lot of public housing work. So I don't know if there's one or two projects you think are really impactful in your life that kind of impact society as well.
I have a lot. And I'll start with what we do, right? Engineers and architects and contractors even, right? Is really a service to the public realm. I think what we do is so important, and it gets lost on a lot of people in society. You know, civilizations are created and built by folks like us, right? I think what we do is so critical to making sure the world, you know, operates and survives and thrives. So I'll start with that. We need more people in our business. So I'm hoping there are a lot of people out there listening to this podcast. One project in particular that I've been passionate about, and it's a multi-year project because we've done many projects within this building, the Grand Central Terminal. Metro North Railroad has been a long-term client of ours. And we've had the opportunity to work on a multitude of projects within GCT, as we call it here in New York. Everything from communication rooms to state-of-the-art training centers to bathroom upgrades to historic restoration projects. Every project was unique, challenging, complicated, and it provided a betterment for its occupants. So that's certainly one project that's near and dear to my heart because as of today, people still use the facilities and the areas that we've improved. Another one in particular that stands out as of recently is a project that we're working for NYCHA. We're modernizing the Todd Hill houses in Staten Island. It's a design build. It's a recent program that NYCHA came out with. And we're essentially providing all the residents there with new apartments. And to me, that's so impactful. You're essentially giving them a breath of fresh air with these apartment renovations. And we're making them accessible and bright and modernizing them with, you know, new MEP systems. And it's such a significant improvement for these residents. And I'm going to put a lot of smile on a lot of faces. So that's something that's been meaningful to me and my staff here as far as projects go.
Yeah, it's amazing. I like what you said there about putting a smile on people's face because Grand Central Terminal, when it opened up to Long Island Railroad, I'm a Long Island resident. It did that for me. I mean, I am, you know, I'm there probably 50-50 between Grand Central and Penn, you know, depending on where I have to go. And it's made my life so much easier and the access has been incredible. And they've done a really great job in Grand Central all around. So I do, I applaud your efforts. I know there was, you know, that's the other thing I really like about our industry. It's always an industry effort, right? Very rarely is a mega project done by one company. You know, it's done by a bunch of companies working together. And so but Grand Central Terminal is definitely, it's really changed our lives for a lot of Long Islanders, not just me, you know, for a lot of people. So we thank you for that. Thank you, the team and everybody else that worked on it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I know some of the projects there at Grand Central were done design build, and I know you have a passion for design build. You were, I believe you authored an Achieving Project Excellence article around it. And then I know you also spoke with ACEC before the legislature, I think a couple of months ago.
I did, correct.
So tell us about that. Tell us about what design build is, what it means to you, and why you're so passionate about it.
Sure. So I cut my teeth on design build early on in my career. At the start of this conversation, you asked a little bit about myself, and I mentioned Grand Avenue. That was a design build project for the MTA. It's fairly significant, and it was my true first public project that I was thrusted into. And I learned so much. And the working relationship with contractors really impressed me, lit me up. I enjoy being in the field and resolving design issues on the fly and being part of the team to, you know, produce a multi-hundred-million-dollar significant piece of New York City infrastructure. It was a great experience, and it's stuck with me since then. And I really enjoy the whole design build process. It's iterative. Projects move fast, which is what I like in the public space. As you know, sometimes projects can take a long time. With design build, that schedule is compressed. I find that exciting because you get to realize what you create sooner rather than later. So that's one part. The collaborative process is really exciting. I love working with contractors. I love the meetings that we have with design teams and contractors. We're resolving a lot of complex things on the fly in a really fast-paced schedule. I get excited when I'm in that space. So I just, in general, I'm really passionate about design, build, and alternative delivery in general.
Very cool. Do you have, I know you guys have worked on a multitude of design build projects. Is there one that sticks out in your mind that was like,
oh, yeah,
very successful, and, you know, the owners were, because they're at the ultimate beneficiary too, you know, when we're able to kind of use some alternative delivery methods.
Yes. Yeah. So one in particular that I'm really proud of is, do you remember when Governor Cuomo came out with the ESI program and the MTA adopted a lot of ESI projects? So Gav Fleming was a lead designer on ESI 2, which was 8 stations for Long Island Railroad. Those stations really were modernized in that program. And we did an amazing job with the design team, giving these stations a fresh breath of life, improving them for the commuters. And, you know, it's nice because I pass these stations all the time, Syosset, Farmingdale, East Hamptons. And these are timeless projects. They're going to be there for a long time, well after I'm retired. And the benefit that we provided in those projects are long lasting. And that's something that, it's a project that's going to stick with me for a long time. My team is really proud of it also. We won a handful of design awards. It's memorable for sure.
That was, I mean, a great program. We worked on several of those projects too, and definitely impactful, really improved the serviceability of the MTA in general.
Oh, for sure.
Very cool. As a Long Islander, I thank you again. Sounds like you're doing a lot of good work.
Thank you. Fellow Long Islander, by the way, right?
I know. I know. We talked about that last weekend. So really, so design build was kind of an evolution in the industry, right? Like that, you know, it took some time and it's still taking time for some owners to adopt. And I think the next big like hot topic, and everybody talks about it, so I'm going to ask you about it because I'd love to hear your thoughts, is AI. How do you see AI changing architecture, engineering, even construction? Are you already starting to see some of that? Do you think we're still a little bit behind? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm seeing a couple of things with AI. I have my opinion like many others, right? And I think in our industry, we're starting to adopt various forms of it. I think in the AEC business, we've been working with things like generative design for a long time. It's baked into a lot of the programs and software that we use, BIM and MicroStation. But as a firm, we are experimenting with it. We have a pilot program right now where a handful of users are using ChatGPT in an exploratory way to either enhance proposal writing, technical writing, come up with codes and scripts that can accelerate some of the generative designs in the softwares that we use for our finished products. So we have that going on right now because I feel like we're in this phase where we need to explore as an industry and learn fast. Otherwise, we're going to get left behind. Because a lot of the software providers that we rely on to deliver the work that we deliver, they're moving really fast into this space and they're going to leverage AI as fast as possible. I hate to say this, but maybe to eliminate some of the work that we do, right? And I think that's one of the concerns that I have is that we need to protect ourselves in this in our business and guard against any of the threats that come from AI. But the positive note that I see is, one, it can get rid of a lot of the repetitive stuff that we do and free us up from more of the critical thinking that any of our clients hire us for, to engineer or design buildings or bridges or whatever their need is. I think that's one of the biggest benefits that AI could do. But the only warning to that is, we have to make sure as an industry that it doesn't become a race to the bottom in terms of services and fees. So that's my perspective on AI in terms of where I'm currently at.
I agree with you. I think it's a very complicated topic. I think it can do some incredible things. You know, we use it in some aspects, not even just in the business, but like just generally, I like to explore and experiment with it. I do think there could be challenges where some of the tasks that we kind of do on a day-to-day basis could be eliminated, which may be a pro in a lot of ways. It may, like you said, allow us to be more critical thinking and creative, you know, where we can look at 100 different iterations of design. Whereas, you know, like, let's not even talk about now. Right now we have CAD, we can do some things very quickly. But think about like 30 years ago, right? When everyone was hand drafting, it was like, I got one page, you know, an hour or something like that, or a day, you know, and if you needed me to do another iteration or change it or think out of it in a different way, it was almost a mental obstacle because I was like, but it's going to take me another 2 days to even like start that process, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
I think there's definitely could be some benefit, but I think we have to be very careful about how it's implemented and how it's utilized, like anything or any technology. You know, I think there's ways that it could take advantage of, you know, of the industry or owners or something like that.
So, oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to educate owners and advocate for ourselves when it comes to how we deliver services, because it's here, technology is not going to go away. And we've seen internally, we've seen use cases where we can take a week's worth of work and do it in 2 hours.
Right. It's amazing.
Interesting times, Eric.
What about you? Have you used it at all? Like personally, do you go on ChatGPT or not yet? Not really.
Yeah, no, I use it. I've used ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini. I experiment with all of them and I use them for a multitude of things, right? I use them to help me synthesize thoughts. I can have a lot of things I'm trying to cobble together that I just can't make sense of because it's just a lot of information. I find these language models to be really useful when it comes to doing that. You know, sometimes I use it when it comes to translation. If I need some assistance speaking or writing in Italian, I found it really useful on that front. You know, that's kind of been how I've been experimenting. And I can see myself using AI more so in the business as we move forward.
I absolutely love it for giving me a starting point of thought, right? Like I'll just type in mishmash of words that are in my head that I need to like formalize. And it's normally pretty good about giving me great structure and direction. I mean, I always modify it. I don't know. I still feel very, like, I feel like writing is very personal for me. So I need it to sound like me or be written by me. But I think it gives me a great, like, start to that train of thought, which is wonderful.
You have to scrutinize what it gives you. So important. You really have to scrutinize
it. You do, for sure.
If you take the results and you can just go with it, the outcome may be different than what you expected.
Yeah, not great. All right. Very cool. So I have a couple more questions for you as we're close to wrapping up here. And so I think I'm going to ask you my favorite question. This is what this is all about. And it's actually, what advice would you give to young professionals, either starting their careers or early in their careers? What is something you wish you knew when you were first starting out?
Couple of things, right? I got a couple of things to share with you on that.
Feel
question.
Free to take your time here. This is a great opportunity for you to tell us what you think about it.
Yeah, and this is really the collection of the advice that I've received over the years from supervisors, mentors. I kind of have my own little short list of career changing advice that I keep with me, and every once in a while I go to it when just dealing with the situation. The first is it's important to find a champion. I think for someone that's entering this business or any business, regardless of what space they're in, you really need to find a champion. Find someone that you admire, whether they're good at business development or they have some technical competency and you're really interested in what they're doing. Try to latch on to that person, learn from them, because you'll find that most people like to teach and share their knowledge. I've never been in a situation where someone told me no. So I think that's really important for someone starting their career. Another piece of advice that someone gave me many years ago, and today I still reflect on it, is never turn down an opportunity to take on a new responsibility, even if it takes you outside of your lane. And that's what really got me into the position that I'm currently at, again, Fleming. I've taken on so many different roles, from starting out as an architecture manager to client management to managing an engineering team. And while there was a level of, I would say, unfamiliarity in all these new positions, I embraced it because it opened up so many doors for me. And I think that's so important for someone that's starting a career. Like, be open-minded, take on responsibilities. Even if you are uneasy or a little nervous, or if it's not what you do, you'll learn from it and you'll be better off.
Find like a champion and a mentor. ask for advice and help, because rarely are people going to say no. And it's so interesting that you say that, because I kind of grew up with that. My dad always told us that they were, most people want to help, and most people, if they can help, will help. You know, that's like a general thought. And then the third thing was, don't be afraid to say no to new responsibilities. Get outside your comfort zone. And I guess you and I are doing that here, right? This is outside of our comfort zone.
That's right. That's right.
We're having a great time, though. And on the mentor front, I find that to be so powerful for me specifically. And my life has always been guided by people that I've been able to trust and are champions or advocates for me. And so I love that as a piece of advice. And we actually at CMAA, I started a mentor program. And just the other day, we got feedback from someone that was like, you know, I'm just so grateful to be in this because I was weighing between two job opportunities. And it gave that person an opportunity to bounce these ideas off of people that had done like both of those jobs. Some had worked at those firms before. Like, they just were able to get such insight that they wouldn't have had if they didn't have that mentor, you know? And so a lot of it is just about the experience and exposure someone can offer you if you ask them the question.
Right. Super, super important. So important.
Because it's hard to make decisions in a vacuum. For me too. I mean, I would say I spend 40, 50% of my time talking to people when I'm trying to make a decision to understand, you know, what are the potential outcomes? What have they seen in their lives? What, you know, what experiences do they have to share? So I find it to be incredible. So thank you for sharing those ideas. And I hope whoever is listening will take those with them. This is my favorite part because we get to know you a little bit more personally. So we're going to do our lightning round. And I've prepared a couple of questions. I'm going to throw them out at you and feel free to give me the answer. The first thing that pops into your head. And typically they're like one word or two word answers. Right. Don't
go for it. I'm ready. Don't.
This episode is brought to you by Infinite Consulting Corp., your go-to firm for MBE certified project and construction management consulting. Discover how Infinite can help you build a better future at infiniteconsultingcorp.com.
So my first one is, what's your favorite pastime?
I always find it to be a tough question because I enjoy many things. When I'm not working, I enjoy being outdoors. I like to run. I'm a runner.
Cool.
Ran my first marathon in 2022.
Hey, congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Hoping to do another one soon. I'm a foodie. I love to just eat different foods, go to different restaurants, explore. Love to travel. Love to eat my way through cities and kind of big on that. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, but when I do have free time, spending with the family and kids, you know, I enjoy that very much, whether it's sports, hanging out, doing nothing, you know.
You mentioned earlier using ChatGPT to translate Italian. There's a lot of recipes because Italian food in Italy has got to be the best, you know, some of the best in the world.
Yeah, I'm biased. I'm not going to lie. I am biased. I do think that the Italian cuisine is second to none. But I use it to help with my speaking and writing. It's been a pet project of mine. I'll call it that.
Very cool. Well, what did you want to be when you were a kid? What did you want to be when you were going to grow up?
Oh, man, I wanted to be a lot of things when I was a kid. I wanted to be a lot of things. Wanted to be an artist.
Musical or like paint or what?
I'm not a painter. I was creative as a child with, you know, pen and paper, I'll call it that, which led to architecture, right?
If
you do like a dotted line, you would see the progression. That's something certainly I wanted to be. I wanted to be an architect also. As I got a little older, I developed an appreciation for the profession. Oh, gosh, I had multiple aspirations. I thought about joining the Navy at one point as a kid. Armed Forces, you know, just to travel because it brings you around the world, right? But that didn't work out too well for me. I'm not the best when it comes to authority.
So you mentioned architect in there. So actually, this is my next question was going to be anywhere in the world. What's your favorite piece of architecture?
I like it all. And because architecture is a funny thing. It means a lot. For me, I have an appreciation for all styles of architecture because I find the architecture to be impactful when it's contextual. I like the old stuff. I'm a big fan of old architecture, whether it's old Americana architecture, some of the old stuff you find in Europe and in Italy and France. I have an immense appreciation for the old stuff. I really do.
Very cool. When you're saying old, give us like a time. Are you talking about like Greek architecture or are you talking about something a little more recent?
It's a wide spectrum. And so I have an appreciation for all the Americana architecture. I have an appreciation for the stuff that the ancients built, right, in the BCs, whether it's Roman, Greek, Egyptian. I have an immense appreciation for all of it because it took a lot of ingenuity to build the buildings that were built. To a fault sometimes, because when I travel with my family, they have limited patience for my desire to sit there and stare at a building for more than 5 minutes.
And they want to go do something else.
Yeah.
And then my last one, anything you're looking forward to before the end of the year? I can't believe it. It's August already. So we got a few more months. Anything exciting coming up? Any trips or personal or project related milestones coming up?
Yeah, a couple of things. We do with family wise, we typically do a yearly sabbatical to Key West. It's a special place. Got a lot of old architecture, which I enjoy. I like to fish when I have the opportunity. Lazy walks with the family and just hanging out at the beach. Looking forward to getting to meet the people within Trans System. I mentioned it early on in our discussion. It's something that I'm looking forward to because we're going to merge with a lot of talent. And I'm just looking forward to getting to meet all these individuals because it's one of the things that I enjoy in my business is just getting to develop relationships internally and externally. And it's going to open a lot of doors for Gann Fleming and in my business and something that it's been in my mind as of recent.
I think that merger is amazing. Congrats again on that. I think the folks that are going to join your team are very lucky to have you as a leader. I think they're going to have the opportunity to learn and grow and hopefully be better, both individuals and professionals under your leadership. Most importantly, I thank you for being on the show. We're right at time. So well done there. Just as any good construction professional will tell you, we should be on time and we are.
Eric, thank you for the kind words. Thanks for the opportunity to have this conversation. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to doing it again.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Building Better Futures. The show notes include links to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.